Lauren Weedman is an award-winning comedic actress, playwright, and author. Her TV credits include The Daily Show, True Blood, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Arrested Development, and Doris on HBO's Looking. Her first book was A Woman Trapped in a Woman's Body, Tales from a Life of Cringe. She is the author of the new book, just in paperback, Miss Fortune, Fresh Perspectives on Having It All from Someone Who Is Not Okay. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Lauren Weedman to the program this morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm just so not okay. I'm just so deeply, deeply not okay. It's so hilarious to hear that. Like, I'm doing these, you know, the interviews, this whole tour, on your radio tour, hear it over and over again. Like, Lauren Weedman is not okay.
She's not okay. Do you? How do you take stock on that, of whether you are okay, you're not okay?
No, I just assume I'm not okay. I mean, just because of the whole just human condition, right? I'm like, I'm generally just meh. But that came from because I had a while ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, I had a friend in Seattle say that she thinks like humanity is divided into two different groups. There's the okays and the not okays. Like, we all have this like core belief about ourselves, that we're either okay or not okay. And she was, at the time, she was like, which one do you think you are? And I'm like, really, you're asking me? That's so flattering. I think she was just trying to be polite. But now I'm just like, I think we're all a little not okay, I assume, at certain points of the day, right?
Now, maybe, Lauren, you differ from me on this, but I am one who, if someone is just a little too okay, I'm skeptical. Oh. I don't know that I trust them.
That's exactly how I feel. And when people are, even down to, like when I'm teaching sometimes, and people are really excited about their project, and they think it's going really well, and they're like, no, this story is amazing. Like, I just had fun writing it, and I just think it's so fun. I think it's fun. And I'm like, I'm getting uncomfortable right now with all this joy and positivity. Like, I always think I need a little bit of critical thought or something. Yeah, it makes me nervous. Yeah. I'm from the Midwest, so I was surrounded by everybody. You know, like, someone could just be a recent double amputee, and they're just like, well, same old, same old. And you're like, what? Seems like something bigger's going on, but okay.
Is there a point in your life where you ever felt, I mean, obviously you have joyous moments. There are glimpses of okay, right?
Yes, I mean, I mean, things are really, I right after my, when I was divorced for the second time, dear Lord, I'm so embarrassing. Anyway, I remember it was such a dreary time, yet every time I came home to the apartment, when I'd walk in, I'd be like, oh my God, my ex-husband's still not here. Oh, this is fantastic. Like, there's a little perk in that awfulness of just like him not being around was kind of nice after a while. So, yeah, there's always, you know, there's always little glimmers of not just, you know, an ex-husband being gone, but of course. But it's never, like, this other thing, too, of, like, when people, if they see me on, you know, if I have a guest spot on a show that I'm on for, like, 2 seconds, and then people are like, well, how's your Malibu life going? You must be in your mansion counting your diamonds. And I'm like, no, I made $300 that day, and still just trying to, you know, figure out why my digestion's so weird.
You gotta live it.
Just how it is.
By the way, was that the husband who was having an affair with the babysitter?
Yes, that one, yes.
Yeah.
The fun one.
So I can see why it would be joyful when you go home, but he's not there. Or the babysitter isn't there.
Oh, exactly. But it's also when you realize that somebody had an odd, like, I didn't even really, it's like wearing, this is an awful analogy. This is not, hopefully this is, I'm not going to sell the book well by showing this, like, here's an example of how deep I go. But it's like if you have shoes that you're, you know, like, well, I guess that's what, you know, I have to wear heels as a lady and oh, they hurt and oh, they're, you know, I've got all sorts of, you know, blisters or whatever, but oh, I have to wear them because they go with this dress or whatever. And then when you take them off or you realize actually there's other shoes that you could wear that are just as fashionable or amazing that aren't going to hurt you. This is the worst analogy ever, but it was just so amazing to get out of that marriage thinking that was the norm for me. It's just always being so uncomfortable. And it was because there was this lie going. Anyway, so it's so wonderful not to have that, you know, to be free of that is quite that is a real perk. Yeah, living in reality.
Well, sure. No, I understand that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your writing and the book and the books, because they are. This is just it's very funny. It is so deeply funny, and
good.
And I'm trying to figure. Right, that's good. Good. I assume that's what you're trying for. Sure. Is there a way to figure of describing how you like to describe the style of writing? Because it's a series of essays. You hopscotch around a little bit on topics, and so in the writing process, I assume you don't sit down and say, okay, I'm just going to write this, that they come out over a fairly long extended period of time.
It is. I'm always using. I always learn from my life for my work, and so I'm used to kind of tracking and writing as I'm living. You know, like I journal or write. I mean, I don't journal. Why did I say that? I'm a liar. I'd like to journal. It seems like a good thing to do. I encourage it. But who's got the time? But I'm writing stuff down, jotting things down that strike me or that I'm, you know, trying to process and such. But when it comes to the essays, you know, I didn't think of it as a memoir, yet people are, it's being referred to sometimes as a memoir. And I know that the Penguin Random House folks, the lawyer was like fact-checking things, you know, and she was like, when you said it was Tuesday, you looked at the calendar that year, there's no way it could have been a Tuesday. Was it a Wednesday maybe, Lauren, and you forgot? And I'm like, well, what's it matter? Let's say it was half Tuesday, half Wednesday. Because I'm not looking at it. I go for whatever my memory, my perception of the time period, that's what I go for. And I don't go for facts as much as just what it all felt like or seemed like to me. And I go for the entertainment factor too, you know, it doesn't really, but I don't even remember was that an answer to your question?
Sort of. Yeah. No, I was asking you about how, if it's, how you describe the style of the writing in the sense that they're essays that you want to get out. Yes. Do you do them for a specific purpose and you say, okay, I'm going to be writing for this magazine, or I'm going to write it for this, no, or I'm just doing it for you. You're just doing it for yourself.
They're always focused on, I mean, I knew I was doing the book, like the two books, the writing is very much, I know I'm going to be doing it, for the book, as I said, and I don't, And they're not. I always think it was like comedic short stories is what I will. And I know they're a little. They're definitely like how I talk. And they're a little frenetic, I think, at times. Sometimes more than. I mean, I read the book and I get. There's some chapters I was like, what? Huh? I'm like, oh, what happened? Where is she? And I'm like, oh, wait a second. I know her. I could just ask her. Like, what's going on in this section? Because it kind of. It's pretty. You know, I'm fairly high energy. And it's reflected in the book. I also feel like the book is just like it's like talking to me. Like I'm more of a I was a performer first and a writer second. I'm kind of making the books. I'm not really selling the book well, am I? I'm like, it's an awful book. It's really poorly written, but please get it. Anyway,
well, let me put it this.
I'm a child.
Okay, let me put it this way, which is, when I see you and I see you perform and I see you in various spots here or there, I find you to be just very appealing and very, I enjoy spending that time with you. So when I see that there is a book by you, I am interested in then spending that time with you. And I think the point we should make is that spending that time with you is very much like having this conversation. It's just rather lovely and delightful.
Thank you. Oh, good. That's for some people. You know, some people can be, I never want to, my fear is that I don't want anyone to feel like they're trapped in the corner at a party with a drunk girl just screaming in their face, telling them things they don't want to hear about. You know, it's like, when in my 20s, I was in Amsterdam. They're just like, uh-huh. Like, where's our signal with my spouse to get me out of this? Like, I don't want to be that. And I think the first book, I was so worried about it not being boring that I didn't let it kind of settle and get a little bit deeper. I didn't let myself reveal a ton of stuff, and I wasn't even aware of it. I just thought that I'm like, I want entertainment. I want it to be fun. I want it to be funny. I want it to go quick. And this one, and then when I read the book back, I was like, geez, take a breath, lady, like give us a second. And so this one, my goal was to try to take a breath, you know, let it go a little bit, deeper, for God's sakes, you know, 47 and all 46, 47. I'm 47.
Do you find when you're in doing these parts and you're on television that you are often playing a version of yourself?
Yes. In fact, for Looking, the HBO show that I was doing, which I loved, when people are, if anyone ever says anything about my acting, like, oh, you're a great actress, I'm like, I'm actually not. That's basically me. And that I'm not, like, I didn't do very much memorizing. They were very, they were great about letting me improv and such. And I tried, the most successful parts I feel like I've had have been the ones that I get to bring more of myself to. And they don't, there's not a lot of, well, there are now. I was going to say, not a lot of great parts for ladies such as myself. Like, if you don't fall squarely into, you know, like, hugely character-y or, you know, drop-dead gorgeous, you're just kind of like the weird. I guess you end up on HBO, which is great. But yeah, I do try to bring a lot of myself. I hope I get. I mean, Looking was such an amazing fit for me, and that it was over is hard for me to
now. What
process?
What happened there? That you had two successful seasons, and you were great.
No.
I mean, you were so great, and then you went back and they did a movie, right?
Yeah, the movie's going to be coming out, I guess, in the summer or something. I'm not sure, but no, it. Successful, I mean, I guess that it wasn't to them. Like, HBO,
yeah.
The numbers, which I didn't even know that HBO did numbers. Like,
or
I
cared.
Thought they were just, you know, not TV, it's HBO. But they did, and they said the numbers were low. And when I'm traveling, people, I mean, I get gay boys running across highways to come over to be like, I just have to tell you that I love Richie, and he's the one I want him to be. Like, people... Or, I mean, and also, you know, divided people. I mean, the community, the gay community was like, either they hated it because they're like, that's not like me. Like, I don't see myself up there because there's so few gay morsels of TV out there. That's
right.
Frustrating. But, I guess it wasn't as successful as what we thought it was because we certainly loved it. And it mattered to a lot of people seemingly, but whatever. It's TV. What are you going to do? You got to let it go.
So then what do you look for next in a role, in a series, in sort of the next project to find that kind of next fit that is a good one for you?
I don't know. I have to say that it's I'm more thinking of just wanting to write. I've kind of, and maybe, you know, write just for myself and write. I don't mean just for myself. Like, I'm going to have a television show and I'm the only person in it and that's it. I just think I'm, I don't know. I really can't imagine the next part, which is sad. And I'm doing some film stuff, which I'm enjoying. I'm doing this independent film that's all improv based, and I like that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I think I'm probably going to be writing something so I can have a little more control of it. But I don't know if I can ever love again like that. I don't know. I'm looking.
Would you ever want to be like a showrunner? You know, like, this is my show. I'm writing it. I'm directing it.
Yeah.
I'm starring in it. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to be. I mean, when I go to auditions now, the whole time I'm just like, I want to be seated on the couch. I want to be on that side where you guys are, the producers are. Like, I want better parking. You know, and I don't want to just this whole process. I'm done. It's so hard. It's just so demeaning. I mean, I went to an audition the other day, and I'm in the hallway, and the door's open, and the room where all the producers and writers are, they're in there talking about the girl they wish they could get to the part I'm going in for. And they're talking about, like, God, I really hope, fingers crossed we get her. And I'm like, okay, I'm going in now. I'm the disappointment. Here I come. It's awful.
You're already maybe in second place, but...
Yeah, exactly. Lucky.
Well, the book is delightful. It is Miss Fortune, Fresh Perspectives on Having It All from Someone Who Is Not Okay. It is published by Plume. It's out in paperback. Lauren Weedman, it is a delight to speak with you. I wish you all the luck in the world and the future projects and the book as well. Thanks
thank
for being
you so
with
much.
Us.
Thank you.
Great pleasure.
Yeah,
thank you. Lauren Weedman's new book is Miss Fortune. It is published by Plume. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.